The reading today is taken from John chapter 6, verses 48 to 59. It can be found in the Church Pew Bibles on screen, or you can read it on the front of your newsletters. So that's John chapter 6, verse 48. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today that we go from this place different, having met with you. Fill us with your presence, we pray. Amen. Amen. Actually, while we were worshipping, I had a picture, and I just want to share it with you. Actually, it was a picture of a red bus. Do you remember the red bus? Oh, there's still red buses, aren't there? I use the car a lot these days. Anyway, in the red bus, I was just reminded, you know, I could see the people were sitting on the red bus, and on a rest... When you're on a bus, you don't know the other people, and there's a sort of like feeling that you're all going the same way, but you're all strangers. And I just felt the Lord saying to me that, and you know, that this is kind of how sometimes we can feel, that we're all going the same way, but we don't know each other. And I know one of our priorities for this next year is to sense of belonging, and I felt it was a confirmation of that. And also there's a sense of actually that we need to sort of kind of start mixing on the bus a bit more. So can I just encourage you to get to know each other more and more, because the more that we are a family of God, the more God will bless us and move in us. So I just want to share that with you. We've been doing John, as you know, this week. Incredible scripture, isn't it? John's Gospel. Great scripture. Last week, we looked at chapter 4. David looked at who was welcome into the kingdom of God, and I hope that you came to the conclusion that anyone is accepted by Jesus into the kingdom as long as they accept him and know him as their Lord and Savior. In fact, the kingdom is for everyone. Everyone who says Jesus is Lord and knows him. In chapter 5, there are signs that point us to the identity of Jesus. And you remember I used that word Christological. Lovely word, Christological. It comes off the tongue, doesn't it? But it means that John deals with revealing Jesus as the Christ, deals with his identity as God. And it's really important that if we're really going to engage with who we are in Christ, we engage with who Jesus is, actually, and his intention that he is the Christ, that he is God on earth, and his identity will make a difference to how we live our lives. In John 5, there's a healing of a man, a scripture that states that the Father has given Jesus authority. Then we are reminded that believers will be freed from the fear of death and judged in the light of Jesus who lives in them. Jesus then, at the beginning of chapter 6, feeds the 5,000. Why wouldn't you? And he does it with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he supplies all that they need and even more than they need. And then, in the passage just before today's reading, Jesus walks on water. Amazing Jesus, isn't he? Go back and have a look at those scriptures because it's amazing. You see this sort of like, kind of almost a journey towards this particular scripture, which is quite good to read. All these are signs saying who he is, indicating who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one they've waited for, the anointed one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he is coming for his people. He's coming to embrace them and walk with them, to open their hearts to believe and to know that God is amongst them. This is what it's about. And after all this has taken place, all those things I've just mentioned, we have the first of what we call the I am sayings. The I am sayings. No, to Jews, using the words I am in this context was very, very significant, as it was given, was the name Moses was given for God when he encountered the burning bush, if you remember, and say, which I say you are, I am. I am who I am, I am. God said that. In Greek, I am is actually more like, it is I, it is I. Which actually puts a slightly different definition on it, doesn't it? It's a way of identifying someone. How do you identify with Jesus? How do you identify who he is? It's a way of identifying with someone. And there are seven I am sayings. The number seven is very significant as well in Jewish culture, as the number seven represents perfection. So I am is here. I am. Some, of course, believe that by saying I am, Jesus is revealing he is God. He is God. It's not negotiable, you know. Jesus is God. Jesus is revealing his God. And in previous chapters, we see that he healed, he fed, he welcomed, he does the impossible. There's all the signs there. And now he's saying, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. A better translation is, the bread that gives life. He's the bread that gives life. An amazing God. Amazing Jesus. Now, most people, I have to say not me here, because we all know that I am celiac, but most people think of bread as a main food. My mum was really into bread, and I can remember her going, you know, I couldn't live without my bread, you know. She loved bread. It's a main food. So Jesus is actually saying, I am all you need. All we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. In chapter 4 that we did last week, that David looked at, we saw the Samaritan woman, and he said he could give water that was living. And he said that you will never go thirsty if you drink this water. It's all that she needed him. Here he's saying, I am the one who can fill you forever and ever. Through me, only through me. But of course, those scriptures, you're seeing those scriptures, those that are listening still don't get it, do they? They just don't get it. There's the signs everywhere. But they struggle to see beyond the physical bread and the flesh. They're thinking literally. They don't think spiritually. And so often we kind of get the wrong end of the stick, can't we? And here we have these people, they're going, actually, well, how can that be? How can that be? What are you talking about? They don't see the spiritual. His references to Moses, of course, and manna, are saying that look, manna was just for the day. If you remember when Moses, the manna bread was on the grounds, feeding the people for the day, and then it died after that. It was no good after that. They had to have new manna the next day. So he's actually saying, this isn't like that. This is eternal. This goes on and on. And he uses those words regarding himself as whoever eats this bread will live forever. It doesn't go off like manna. He is continual. He is forever. If you allow him into your very being, he will live in you. Jesus lives in us when we believe. And what Jesus offers is everlasting and authentic. Real. It's the real deal. In verse 51, Jesus then likens bread to his flesh. Eek. And the meaning actually is referring to his human life. Because he gave up his human life. We're going to get into the Easter time, aren't we? It's Lent now. We're thinking about all that he gave up for us. He gives up his human life for you and me. This statement would have been really confusing to the people at the time. And we see that again in that scripture. It's so confusing. They thought literally. And again, he is pointing to himself being the Messiah, God on earth. It's through me you receive life. Through me you're blessed. Through me. No other way. He points to himself as Messiah, as to God on earth. And here in John, we are forced to engage with the meaning of the Last Supper, which is, this is even before that event, of course. But I need to bring them together for us to really get an understanding. What does Jesus really mean? Food, of course, goes through our body, doesn't it, and brings nourishment. Food is essential to our survival. What we eat makes us either healthy or unhealthy. Don't we know that when we've eaten a bar full of chocolate? And you feel quite ill and sick. In the same way, if you've eaten some fruit and you feel well. What we eat matters. Food is essential. It's essential. What we eat makes us either healthy or unhealthy. Here, Jesus is asking us to become more intimate with him. And I talk about inside-out experience of God. Walking in his presence daily, in every moment. Bringing Jesus along for the journey. Not separating our secular and our sacred. Shouldn't be separated. We live through him, in him, with him. When we're washing up. When we're going down the shops. Take Jesus with you. Being intimate with him. Being intentional about your relationship with him. So he becomes part of your life. And Jesus is our nourishment. He becomes part of us, and we are part of him. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, a God who is alive today, the only God, Jesus Christ. When we do that, we become spiritually healthy. When we invest time in him, in our relationship with him, when we include him in our life. The same is true if we participate, of course, in things that are unhealthy. We become spiritually unhealthy as well. Things such as occult practices, unholy living, they lead us to death, not to life. Cutting God out, ignoring him. We need him. Through accepting the gift of Jesus, sacrifice and love, through seeking him in our lives, we receive life. Life eternal. Life eternal. And if we think of the act of taking communion, which was initiated at the Last Supper, we are participating in something we call a sacrament. That is, they call it Dominical Sacrament, which again, it means it's initiated by Jesus. That's what Dominical means. It's initiated by Jesus. Those sacraments were started by Jesus. And a sacrament is something that is enacted that helps us to know Jesus more and to remember his grace and his divinity and his life. That's why we do communion, to remind us, to take us to that place. When you enact something else, it becomes more real, doesn't it? But the disciples have not yet had that Last Supper, have they here, of course. So this statement about eating the flesh and drinking the blood is confusing to them. You can see that. The Last Supper, of course, takes place during the Passover time, when the Jews remember how God protected them when they were oppressed in Egypt. And at that time, the people sacrificed a perfect lamb, and they covered their doors with blood, so death would not visit them, hence Passover. The death passed over them. In the same way, Jesus becomes the lamb, the sacrificed lamb now for us. We are protected by him. He gives his life for us. We are protected because he died and rose again. When you believe, you are marked by him, his death, his resurrection, his spirit. The seal of the spirit is on you, through you and in you. That's who we are. This is who we are because of who he is. So when you take communion next, it won't be this today, sorry. We should believe that God is with us. He is with us. He's real, that he brings healing, he brings freedom through all that he did for us. We enact that. And all of us are invited, all of us in our brokenness. God loves us in our brokenness. He comes along, he creates something new, something amazing, something special. All of us. Jesus meets us. He restores us. Communion is personal, and yet it is also communal. We are accepting he died for us, and also he also rose for us, and we share the cup as the family of God. And that's why I was encouraging now, let's be the family of God. Let's work at that. The bread and wine we take is a sign that through him we are healed, loved, reconciled to the living God. This is an amazing scripture. He's saying amazing stuff that says, I am the Christ, I am the anointed one, I have come for you. This message, as well in verse 63, isn't there, leads some of those disciples to just desert him. I can't do this. You can see it, can't you? I can't do this. They haven't grasped the spiritual significance of what he's saying. So they leave. Let us not be people that leave him. Let's get more into him, more into Jesus, known for Jesus, known for knowing him, loving him, living him. Let Jesus be your bread of life. Let Jesus refresh your soul. Let him nourish you. Let him be your source of life forever and ever. What do you need today? What do you need? Because I can tell you, when you draw closer to him, he will meet you in your need. He may not just give you exactly what you want, he'll give you what you need. He will draw close to you. Do not turn away. Go to the one who can bring you spiritual life. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Messiah. The Messiah. That's who we serve and know. Let's act like we do. Let's make a difference in our community, in our nation, everywhere we are. Let's stand. If you can. I want to just pray now that we get if you feel inclined, you don't have to, I don't want to control you, to put your hands out in front of you. I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us afresh and anew today, and he will meet us in our needs. Lord Jesus, pour your Holy Spirit on us now. Come, Holy Spirit, that we will know you as the Messiah in our life. That we will know you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, fill us. Restore us. Heal us. Transform us. That we can say, you are the bread of life. You are the one who loves me, knows me. And just in this moment, give over anything that you are struggling with at this moment. Ask him to reveal more of himself to you. What does that mean? As we move into worship, either just continue as you are or just join in. Allow God to keep ministering to you. That the Messiah is here. The Savior is here.